to allow the scriptures to explain itself. So far we have seen why Jesus used parables and what parables meant. Parables mean to cross over from one to another level, so which was what he did. But in this instance, he expounded. In other words, he went through the scriptures to explain the scriptures. Now, notice something we spotted on Sunday, the last session. We said Moses and all the prophets. And I said to you that in the Old Testament, Moses was mentioned how many times? 766 times, which does not include the pronouns or the scriptures. Just his name was used 766. Even in the New Testament, from the four Gospels through to the book of Revelation, he's mentioned 80 times without pronouns. Just the name is mentioned 80 times. And we said most of his references are about what he wrote. Pay attention to that. So, we must therefore, for Jesus to say this, and said, beginning at Moses, which we can safely call the law, and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we can track, we can find out the law and prophets in Jesus' words. What were the things he said about the law and prophets? Look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm going to read verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. He says, all the law and the prophets, or sorry, the prophets and the law, they prophesied. So, in other words, I want you to listen very well to this. Did you notice that Jesus' reference in Luke 24, pay very good attention, was also the prophecies? It wasn't as much as the symbolism. Because he says in 25, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now, in other words, he classifies the Christ information in the law, in Moses, as prophecy. Are you following that? Pay attention to that. You know, I told you before, that in the Old Testament, in degrees of explanation, the symbols, they are lower than the prophecies. Can you remember I said that to you before? That the symbols are lower in communicating than the prophecies. That's bringing out the relevance of words. Listen carefully to this. Makes sense. In Matthew 13:17, Jesus says, I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and they have not heard them. The same thing, this was prophets and who? Righteous men. Now, the first set was the prophets and the law. Now, this is prophets and righteous men. In Luke 10, put your hands in Matthew 11, we're coming back there. In Luke 10, Luke 10, yep, verse 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, have not heard, seen them, not to hear those things which you hear, and they have not heard them. Luke 16, which we check this on Sunday, don't forget. Luke 16, 29. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Verse 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So go back to Matthew 11. So Jesus lets us see that there's a unison in the law and the prophets, or the prophets and the kings, or the prophets and the righteous men, they are the things about him. Now, look at that Matthew 11, verse 13. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. The word until there is the word heos, H-E-O-S, that is to John. So by using a heos, it classifies John as in the law and the prophets. It's a classification. That is up to John. Pay attention. So when he says the kingdom of God suffered violence, and those that are violent take a hold of it, I think we've explained that to mean that those who are violent are those who are against. Not that the kingdom of God suffered violence, let's be violent. If you are violent, that means you are against the kingdom of God. Now, so he classifies John as in the law and the prophets. Obviously, what features mostly in this compound classification, one Matthew 13, Matthew 11, Luke 10, Luke 16, and Luke 24, is prophets. So, in Luke 24 again, even after mentioning Moses, he calls it the prophets. And that shows us the importance of the information of the prophecies. So, pay attention here. So, we want to look at John. Since Jesus said that all the prophets and the law prophesied to John. So what is it about John? Look at John 1:7. Let's look at the description about John. I want you to listen very well. We want to go into explanation of words and how they were used. In John 1:7, I'll start from 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came, pay attention. He came for to bear witness. So he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Okay? So, he uses the word witness, then to bear witness. One of them is a noun. The other one is a verb. Maturia is a noun. M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A. That's a noun. That's a noun. Maturio is the verb. Just put E-O. One is used 37 times, the other 76 times. Notice what he says. He came for a witness, or as a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He used the word peri, which means concerning the light. So, he separates Jesus. He says he came to bear witness of the light. The light there is the word phos, P-H-O-S. You see how it comes in shortly. It's going to be important. In verse 8, he says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness. Now, again, he uses the verb, sent to bear witness. The verb, what's the verb again? Material. Okay. So, he uses the word phos. Phos, used for light, is the source of light. That is, when you use phos, phos does not derive light from everywhere. Anywhere. So, anytime you use force for light, and you'll see the distinction shortly, you are saying it doesn't receive light, it's the one that lightens. So when you use force for light here, you are saying it didn't get the light from anywhere. This is the light. And that shows you, again, Genesis 1, that says the light, that's the light. Light be. Every other light in Genesis were created. But the light that was mentioned in verse 3 was not created. Is that clear? Is that clear? That's what is called the light of men. In the beginning with God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So that light is the light of men. That's not the light to see where you are going during the day. So it says again that he came to bear witness of the light. Verse 8. He was the true light. And that's an adjective. Why would you say true light? Every time you see that word true light, it's comparative. It's not the opposite of fake. No. Pay attention. That word true is the word alethnos. A-L-E-T-H-N-O-S. And see how it was used. In Luke 16:11, is used in comparison to riches, true riches. Because Jesus obviously was talking about earthly riches, so he talks about true riches. In John 4:23, you hear true worshippers. It's not as though those other worshippers were fake worshippers. 2. Then, in John 4:37, the true one. In John 6:32, the true bread. In John 7:28, and also in John 8:16, true judgment. In John 15:1, the true vine. Then John 17:3 and John 19:35. Very importantly, in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, alethnos, as a comparison. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Let's look at that one. From idols to serve the living and true God. Idols to serve the living and true God. Hebrews 8 and 2. Used for tabernacle. The true tabernacle. Hebrews 9, 24. The figures of the true. Hebrews 9, 24. Hebrews 10:22, a true heart. 1 John 2:8, so it's not the opposite of false. False is pseudo, okay? But this is different. 1 John 2, verse 8. The true light now shineth. 1 John 5:20. This is a true God and eternal life. So, okay, the other references in Revelation 3:7. Let me just run through that just for reference study. Revelation 3:7. Then 3:14, 3:7, 3:14, Revelation 6:10, Revelation 15:3, Revelation 16:7, Revelation 19:2, and Revelation 19:9. I'll say it again. Revelation 3:7, 3:14, 6:10, 15:3, 16:7, 19:2, and 19:19. Now, when it is used as a comparison, is used to compare either what is earthly or what will fade away. What will not last? What is temporary? Just like idols, just like the bread, just like the worshippers of, when Jesus made that comparison in John 4, it was a comparison of the Old Testament worshipper who worshipped through mountains and through earthly things, and then those who worship in the Spirit, which is the truth, which is the reality. So, if you now look at John 1, by saying that true light, okay, what he's telling you is that his light is eternal in origin and eternal in duration. Both origin and in duration. Don't forget where we started, so that you won't lose track of what we are saying. Because sometimes when you go to a reference like that, some people don't know what we are talking about again. We said that John was classified with who? The law and the prophets. In fact, if we had gone further, you will see that he was called the greatest. And then in calling him that, we saw that John was called one who came to bear witness of the light. And it was so clear that there are two Johns now. John who wrote it now said he was not that light. He made it clear to you that he was not that light. He came to bear witness. And that already shows you the role of the prophets of the Old Testament. He came to bear witness. Maturio and maturia, I showed you both the noun and the verb. He came to bear witness. That's what he was. Now go to John 5. He's described there again. John 5. I want us to read this carefully. Again, what's the noun? What is the verb? Good. So, now we're going to see how it's interchangeably used here. In verse 32. There's another that bears witness of me. Watch this. The first is a verb. And I know that the witness, that will be what? A noun. Which he witnesses of me is true. So that's a verb, a noun, and then a verb. So the verb shows what the, when you use a verb, that means it's something, an action everybody saw. What were the things that John said or did that bore witness? He being a witness will like be his office. That's his office as a prophet. But we will only see his witness in what he what? Says. Right? Are we together here? In what he says. In who he is a witness, he's a prophet. In what he says. And don't forget, John says he is not that light. He came to bear witness. Please, follow this now. Verse 33. You sent unto John, and he bore witness. That's a verb. He bore witness unto the truth. Aletheia, which is where we have alethnos. Aletheia is the word. He bore witness of the truth. Now, how would he bear witness? By the things he said. So, we can find those witnesses in his words. What did he say? So let's put it like this. The witness is the prophet. What will be the verb? Is prophecies. So what from where do we believe? The person or his words? Okay. Not the person. Because already the person of him is, he bears witness, he is not that light. But his words will what? Bear witness. Which is like what a journalist who reports. Martyrio means to report something. So when you're a martyr, you don't generate. You report. So, pay attention here. Verse 34. But I received no testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. Now, he uses the word again. This is martyrio, which is the noun. 35 is very key. Let's take it together. He was a burning and what? A shining light. How come this is contradictory? We just heard that it was not the light. How come it's called light? The word here is very different. Somebody was telling me during the week that she was counseling me highly that is there a way we can do a commentary in sense communication and help people read the Bible that, you know, there's so many things that many translations did not clarify. I said, pray for us. For me, I don't see a reason for it. It takes away the reason to study. Verse 35. The word light here is the word luknos. L-U-C-H-N-O-S. It is used for a lampstand. So can you see that was misleading? A lampstand. And one characteristic of a lampstand is that you have to put light on it. Am I right? So, if you're going to have your channel, you say, he was a burning and a shining lampstand. Let's see where the word lampstand, luknos, was used quickly. Matthew 5:15. Let's read it. Matthew 5:15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that it may give light unto all that are in the house. Matthew 5:15. Matthew 6:22. The light of your body is the eye. The light of your body is the eye. Mark 4:21, which is the same thing as Matthew 5:15. Luke 8:16. Luke 11:33. Same reference. Luke 11:34 is the same thing being said. Luke 12:35. Let your loins be gathered about and light burning. Lamp stand burning. Something you can control. Luke 15:8. Either a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house. Puts light on the candle. So, that's a lampstand, not the light. A lampstand will need light. So, what becomes relevant in the life of John will be who? Jesus. How fine the lampstand looks like, whether he has dreadlocks or he was eating wild honey, that becomes irrelevant. The light of the candlestick is what is important. It cannot do anything without, it serves its purpose only when he bears light. Follow this. If you look at John 1, verse 9, let me run your mind a little bit. The true light that lights every man that comes into this world. Now, obviously, what was he talking about? Who was lit there? John. Because John bore witness of the light. That has a direct reference to John. Where is it every man? Of course, you know, when we say every man, you know, you have to look at what he was saying within the context of the statement. But just put your mind on that, because it's going to come relevant shortly, whether in this session or another one. So, he uses the word lampstand. So, can we call every prophet a lampstand. Huh? Very good. What is relevant will be the light. Every prophet is a lampstand. Now, go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. See how Peter expresses it. Let's even start from the pretext. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory. From there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, which is my beloved son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Somebody was talking about a program and said this was the thing that they had, that if you are going for the program, that you just like the experience of Peter and all that. I mean, if you have just stopped there, that would be wonderful. He said, Peter now called the voice that they heard the more sure word of prophecy. See, that's exactly opposite of what was there. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Look at how Peter, I think I explained this in the earlier series of this series, that Peter is relating an experience that normally you should go and build a tabernacle on. So we heard the voice. We heard what he said. He said, but look at this. In verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Notice that. We have also a more sure word, which is the word bebios in the Greek. It means something that is reliable. In other words, in comparing his experience, he's saying this is more reliable than our experience. Bebeo, something you can rely upon. A more sure word or prophecy. Bad enough the way King James translated it, you may not understand what he says. So, let's put it together. The word there, more sure word or prophecy. The word or prophecy is just one statement. It's a Greek word, prophetikos. P-R-O-P-H-I-T-I-O-K-O-S. You know the way you have pneumaticos. Alright? Propheticos. It means things uttered. The reason why you have the word is because the King James wanted to separate it, wanted to separate the prophets from what they said. But it's not too good a translation. It should have been straight off. Prophetic words. That's what he's saying. Words of the prophets. Or things uttered by the prophets. This was used also, pay attention please. It was used also by Paul in Romans 16:26. The same reference. Romans 16:26. I'll start from 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. Notice that. By the scriptures of the prophets. Is, again, prophetic scriptures. According to the commandments of the everlasting God. So the scriptures of prophetic words. Romans 16:26. So, in 2 Peter 1, when it says more sure word of prophecy, things said by the prophets. Let's come back to something. You know, we're looking at the word lamp, the word light. You will see the book of Revelation used it very well. Revelation 18:23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Revelation 21:23 and Revelation 22:5. Okay. Now, get back to 2 Peter 1. So it says a more sure word of prophecy. Pay attention. Prophetic words. So, which one is more reliable? Peter's experience of the prophecies of the scripture. The prophecies of the scripture. It's more reliable. You know, on Sunday we said that, what did Jesus, I just gave us a glimpse, what did Jesus and Paul have in common? Can you remember? The prophets. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? That Jesus and Paul had something in common. They both, Jesus explained Jesus from the prophets. And Paul explained Jesus from what? The prophets. Are you there? Christ explained Christ from the prophets. And Paul explained Christ from also where? Where also? The prophets. We said that. So that's why Peter would say, a more sure word of prophecy that is more reliable than our experiences. And the beauty about prophetic words is that there was not just one person. It was a group of persons who never saw themselves. Many of them never did. And they uttered the same thing. That's why I call the prophets. So say this is more reliable. More reliable than what we heard. Pay attention. Now, the key word is in verse 19. Whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light. Lochnos. So what would you call it? As unto what? Change it. Huh? A lampstand. So what is a lampstand? Huh? The prophets. As unto a lampstand that shines in a dark place. It uses the word Ochmero. A-U-C-H-M-E-R-O. Dark place. That already shows you that lampstand carried what? That's another way of saying musterion. A dark place, obscure. Okay? Obscure. You do well, you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. Until, hallelujah, are you there? Until the day. The Greek word, emeria. The day. The day. Glory to God. Until the day. When you find emeria is used for a time or a period. Okay? But it's where there is no darkness. Until the day. So, it's comparing two dispensations. Obscurity and light. That they spoke, those prophetic words were given in obscure times. What did, was it Asaph? What did Asaph say in Psalm 78? I will open my mouth and I will utter what? Huh? Dark speeches, which we call, you know, the riddles. Are you following that? You know, Peter had said it in 1 Peter 1 that they were searching. Can you remember? The same problem, we're searching. So it says that you take heed. Pay attention to these words, which was searching in a dark place until, he says, the day dawn, better still, this day dawn. The word dawn is the Greek word diagazo. D-I-A-G-U-G-A-Z-O. It means light through shadows. So it already tells you that their words came in shadows, just like Hebrews 1:1. Are you there? Who are sundry times and in diverse manners. So he's telling you that they were lampstands. Until when? The day. Hallelujah. Until the day. They were lampstands. They were in obscurity. Until the day or light
through the shadows.
Pay attention. Revelation 21:21 will have that word. And the 12 gates were 12 pairs. Every several gates was of one pair. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So, it means to go through, to shine through a surface. That is the day dawn, until the day dawn, and then it says, we'll come to that, the day star. The word day star is the word phosphorus. Remember phos? What is phos? The light. Phosphorus will be first light with pheros. P-H-E-R-O-S. To give. Until the day dawn. So day dawn is the effect. From shadow into light. Which is the day star, the light giver, will arise in your heart. The day dawn and the light giver arise in your heart. Take heed. That is, pay attention. He calls Jesus the light of that day. And that's who he is. The light of this day. Until it arise in your heart. The word to arise is the word anatello. Listen to this very well. Used for the sun. Is used for the sun. You see it in Matthew 4:16. Okay. Matthew 5:45. The sun to shine. Matthew 13:6 in the parable of the sower. Mark 4:6, parable of the sower. Mark 16:2. I love us to look at this one. Very early in the morning, at the rising of the sun. That is when the sun fully came out. Mark 16:2. Luke 12:54. Now, if you are reasoning with what we are saying, are you getting what Peter was saying? That we have moved from where? Shadows to light. From prophecies to its fulfillment. We have moved from candle or lampstands to the light himself. Are you following this? So he's making a distinction between two covenants. He's not talking about growing revelation knowledge. No. Luke 12:54. To rise out of the west, the sun. James 1:11. I think there's an Hebrews 7:14 text about this. Okay, this is just our Lord sprang out of Judah. That's what it says, to spring out. So when that is said, it means something to show up. So that means that what showed up in our hearts is the light. Hallelujah. Are you there? God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, I shine in our hearts. Are you there? Are you following? So, in other words, it means that Peter is talking about a period of obscurity. We have more sure word of prophecy, reliable words spoken by the prophets now fulfilled in us. Are you there? So, It makes a distinction between the shadows and reality. So, what will be the day done? What will be the day done? What is the day done? Light through the shadows. What will be the dark place? The dark place is that dispensation. Are you there? Dispensation. So just like Jesus said and Paul said, we need to take the day star to the dark place. Hallelujah. Now we have the day star. The day star, which is also called the morning star. The morning star. That which starts the day. That which gives light to the day. Are you there? So when he says we have a more sure word of prophecy, he's saying we have prophecy fulfilled. Does it make sense? That is, it was spoken in obscurity, is fulfilled in the full hub of light. We are in the light now. Hallelujah. We are in the light now. So he makes a distinction between the day and the obscure time. So every prophet is at best what? A candle stand. That's the limit. They can be beautiful candle stands, handsome, harsh, hard, but they are all candle stands. And that period is called the period of obscurity, where darkness or light pierces through shadows. So Peter is saying that you won't find the reality now. Take heed to see that the day star has shined in your heart. That is, look at it. That is the, so the more sure word of prophecy are those prophecies what? Healed. Hallelujah. Like I told you earlier on, Peter put a disclaimer on his own experience. You have a more sure word of prophecy. Go back to John 5. I'm not sure if I'm getting this right. Is this clear to you? Alright. So next it is seen. John 5, 35 again. So now they go and look for a more sure word of prophecy in the Old Testament. Ah. That's in the dark place. Hallelujah. We're now in the day. Amen. John 5, 35. He calls him a burning and a shining light. The word burning is the word kahio in the Greek. K-A-I-O. A burning and a shining light. And you were willing, he says, for a season to rejoice in his light. The word there is ora, H-O-R-A. Pay attention to this one. Ora is shorter than a day. It's a part of a day. It's just a moment. So all the prophets, all they had were moments. Moments. A season. A season. Now, notice, if you miss this one, truth have come. Who were the prophets bearing witness of? The light. Who is that? Jesus. Don't ever forget this. As we explain the next thing, now, look at this. Again, this lampstand were to bear witness of the light. And we've explained who the light is. So now, move closely. Verse 36. Are you 36? I have greater witness than that of John. Pay attention. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Follow this. Please follow this. So he introduces someone. He says, I have a greater witness. He uses the word material, which is material, which is a noun. Okay? So he's not talking about words. He's talking about what? Are you following this? He doesn't need to pay attention. Now, he uses the noun. I am witness of who now? Of who? I am a greater witness of who? He doesn't say light. He says of the Father. He can't be a witness of light. He is the light. Are you there? So he uses a noun. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Are you there? Please, pay attention to this. I want you to notice something. We'll interchange it shortly. I skip something. I have greater witness than that of John, which is a noun. For the works that which the Father has given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me. And the Father has sent me. So, do you notice that he says the works, bear witness of me, that I am the witness of who? Are you there? Witness now will be a noun. The works, verb, bear witness of me. I am the witness of the Father. Please, follow this. Verse 37. And the Father himself, who sent me, has borne witness of me. You have never heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. How did the Father bear witness of him? I hear you never heard his voice. How did the Father bear witness of Jesus? Through the prophets now. He said, look guys, you have never heard his voice, but he has borne witness of me. Are you listening to this? Should I go over it again? Jesus says, I witness for the Father. He says, the Father, the works that I do, bear witness of me. The Father, whom you have never heard his voice, nor seen his shape, he bears witness of me. How? Exactly. Through who? The prophets. Please pay attention. Pay attention. He said, why? He said, because you people knew John, no? He said, you know John. So, he caught them, in my note, I said, he caught them red-handed. That's what I wrote in my note. That is, if you have taken John's witness, John told you that he is bearing witness of the light. Now, that is the Father bearing witness of me. I have a greater witness than John. I am the witness of the Father. Are you following this? Okay. Just follow on. Verse 37. So, Jesus trapped them by saying, you have received, sorry for using the word trap, I think I'm not being mischievous, that all of you, you are Jews, you have accepted the witnesses of the prophets. And John, you accept John is a prophet, yes, and John bore witness of me. So, my witness is truth. I am bearing witness of nobody. I am the witness of the Father, whom you have never seen nor heard his voice. Are you following? Okay. Because there's a verse you normally quote and you just run to it. You see how we arrived at that verse. You have never seen his shape. You have never seen his form. You don't know how he looks like. But all you have from the Father are words from the witness, which are men. Are you listening? Okay. You know, we are teaching the Pauline revelation. So we must know why the Pauline revelation is legitimate. Are you following? Okay. So you all listened to the message. So hold on, look up. Where did they get this witness? In the scriptures. Are you there? Are we together? So 38 is the key fact. You have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Are you following? 38 now leads to 39. Do you see why 39 becomes important? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are what? Now, let us scatter the word scriptures. The scriptures will be the words of who? They are they who testify of who? Me. Is it flowing now? They are they who testify of me. The verb. So can we say, search the scriptures, they are men who testified of me. Can we say that? Can we say they are prophets who spoke about me? Including John. So, verse 40 makes sense now. You will not come to me that you may have life. Are you there? In showing them that they have not believed the prophets, are you getting this? He said, "You've never heard his voice before." Is that very clear? So that means up to this point, either you are hearing a man or hearing an angel. Okay, let me leave them. For another day. So you've never heard his voice, nor seen his shape. Up to this point. Nobody can argue that. He said, all you have is the scriptures. Are you there? That means all they have is what? The scriptures. Or, can we call it the words of the prophets? So, there is no vision. Your head shook and you feel that is above what was written. The high point of revelation in scripture are still the words of men. You know, and those are the things we treat with levity. Say the words of men. So that's all you have. Now, look at it, verse 40. So, please follow this. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name. Receive me not. If another will come in his own name, him will you receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of the other, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Now, let's look at verse 45. Don't run. Just take it simply. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Now, pay attention now. The word accuse is the word kategorio, kategorio. You see it used in Romans 2:15 and Revelation 12:10. Especially for the devil. To accuse. Which means to find fault. He says in whom you trust. The word trust is elpizo. Elpizo will mean, pay attention please. Elpizo will mean you hoped. Whom you hoped. Now, what were they hoping for? 39. Go back to 39. What were they hoping for? What were they hoping for? So, as they read Moses, okay, they hope for eternal life, but it says Moses already accused you. Are you following? So, look at 46. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Look at that. For he wrote of me. It's the word pistuo. So he uses believe twice. If you believe in Moses, you believe in me. Recall what Abraham told the rich man. Obviously, Abraham and Moses were met in the earth. Abraham got that information. So he says, if they would not be persuaded by Moses, I'm the prophet. Not if one, I explained to you on Sunday, came from just one, talking about Jesus. That means believing Moses and the prophet is equal to believing in Jesus. But notice that he said two things. He said, Moses accused you. Okay? He says, if you believe, pay attention. If you believe, I think I need to make a statement here. For had you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me, for he wrote of me. That word is a conditional term. It means you will believe in me through him. That is, B is reliant on A. That is like saying, you would have believed in me through Moses. In other words, he's telling them that they never believed Moses. Why? He says, Moses wrote of me. So, what would Moses accuse them of? Huh? Thank you very much. Moses accused them. Well, Moses took account of sin because of unbelief. Moses accused them because of unbelief. Look at 47. Just the same thing in Luke 16:29 we read earlier. Look at 47. Let's take 47 together. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Hallelujah. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Go to Hebrews 4. Let's just corroborate that quickly. Hebrews 4. Basically, you see that Jesus and Paul, which is what we have been saying, they took the truth from the same place. And now we're going to establish that they took the truth. Jesus did not explain Christ from his experiences. That is Jesus Christ. Sorry. Maybe Jesus Christ. I see that revelation. Jesus did not explain Christ even from his own experiences. He explained Christ from the law and the prophets. And Peter already has given a description that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, I say Hebrews 4:2. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise, verse 1, being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, and he's talking about the wilderness. That means Moses bore the gospel. He bore the gospel. Look at Romans 10:8. I'll start from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend unto heaven? That is to bring Christ from above. He explains it. Who shall descend into the deep? Who made this statement? Moses. Deuteronomy 30:14. That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. The word is nigh thee, in your heart and in your mouth, which is the word of faith which we preach. So, Deuteronomy 13, 12 to 14, 30, sorry, Deuteronomy 30, verse 12 to 14, Paul is bringing out the message of salvation from Moses' words. So he's saying that in Moses you will see faith, and then where you find accusation, that all the action of the law is based on their unbelief. So nothing has changed. Look at it, Deuteronomy 30. I'll hide my face from them, and I'll see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. Matthew 19. Verse 8. Jesus again spoke of why Moses wrote. He says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So, the scriptures are consistent. The message of the scriptures is Jesus. Very consistent. Pay attention to that. What I just said now is so important, that the message of the scriptures, the content, the life, is a person. So quickly, we can put it like this. All the prophets, including Moses, they were all lamps. Take a very strong note on that. In none of them do we bear identification. None. Please pay strong attention to this. In all, none do we bear identification. We are not identified as any or with any, pardon me. None. And you know, Jesus said as much. In Matthew 13:17, he said, all the prophets and kings desire to see the things that you saw. He was even talking about those folks who saw him in his incarnate state. He said, and he didn't see it. All of them. He said, blessed are your eyes, referring to the 12 and the other disciples that see these things, and your ears that they hear these things. So, note this, and you will see it come out shortly as we begin to explain Paul. We have no identification with any. We have seen who they are. Their offices are best lampstands. So, look, we're going to run through two things and then we'll close. Look at 1 Peter 1. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Now, the word signify is the word delo, D-E-L-O-O. It means to inform. I want you to notice this. When the law is used, it's a third party information to do it for another. Let's see. You know, the law does not reveal itself, but someone else. Let's see where this is used. 1 Corinthians 3:13. It shall be revealed by fire. That is, what is somewhere else will be revealed. Third party. Someone else reveals another. Pay attention. First Corinthians 1:11. I skipped that. 1 Corinthians 1:11. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them. So, they told me about you. The law. They told me about you. Manifestation is I show myself. The law is I tell you about someone else. Pay attention. Colossians 1:8. Who declared unto us your love in the spirit? Your. Who told us about you? Hebrews 9:8. The Holy Ghost did signify that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Let's look, this is not it. Third party. Hebrews 12:27 signified the removal of those things that are shaken. 2 Peter 1:14. No. All right. I put off this, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. So, he showed me. So, it's clear that Dilo is used for someone else reporting another. Are we together? Huh? So, now let's see whether it stays here. The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Is it the Spirit of Christ testifying or these men? Huh? Why? Look at the next verse. Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves. Can you see who he's talking about? Huh? Can you see who he's talking about? But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So, they were reporting. So what he says beforehand, quickly, they testified beforehand, is the word promaturomai. I'll just spell that for you. Promaturomai. To act before. That is, they witnessed before of something that happened later. That's what he's saying. All the prophets. Now, were they reporting his death? No. He wasn't talking about his death. He was actually talking about, more importantly, his resurrection. Pay attention to this very well, though. What they revealed, what was in the revelation, which is the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, there is no revelation of the sufferings of Christ in his death. It's just a human account. Please note this very well. So, in their revelation, eternal life remains the issue. The death of Jesus is an included fact. It's not the exclusive fact. The exclusive fact is his resurrection. Remember 5:39? You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have what? So that remains. So pay attention. Look up, please, in God's holy name.
So, what was the crown of their prophecy? The resurrection of Jesus. Listen very well. What is the day star? The day dawn, day star that rises now. Is it his death or his resurrection? That's it. That's the key in their prophecy. The truth is that in our study of Jesus, we seem to be overwhelmed with the events of his death. They are just stories. Stories born by four different people that have different accounts is incarnation. But the key, that is why you discover that the early church did not feed on those things. That what was the meal was what nobody could write in newspapers. Are you following what I'm saying? That was the meal. Hallelujah. Go, look at John 16. Now, look up again. Let's say some things quickly. It makes a lot of sense to say this. Listen very well. The prophet pointed out who? Huh? Jesus. Jesus did not point out the Father. What did he do? Huh? He what? Revealed. Remember that. Can you remember that? We said, so don't ever forget this. So the substance of the prophecies of the prophet is a person. And that person in his resurrection. His resurrection is where you see his glory. Or his full glory. Because incarnation also has glory. Look at John 16. We were there on Sunday. So let's go back there a bit. John 16. Just, I want you to breathe in and breathe out. So you won't lose sight of this one. It's not difficult to see. If you have your religious glasses in your mind. Now, look at John 16 again. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know, I said to you that he didn't say you reprove the world of sin, then you leave it at righteousness. If you are using reprove for convict to make you feel guilty, then use it for the three. He will make the world guilty of sin and of righteousness. He will make you guilty of righteousness. He will make you guilty of judgment. He will make you guilty of sin because they believe not on me. He will make you guilty of righteousness because I go not to my, you know, it doesn't make sense. So the word will be to convince. Now you only use the word, pay attention here, eleko, to persuade. That means what he's going to talk about is beyond eyewitness account. Things to believe. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. 12. Can you see? 8, 9, 10. 11 flowed into 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Many things about what? Don't compartmentalize it. About what? He just told you sin, righteousness, and judgment. Who has many things to say unto you? Who? Who? Very good. How it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? Let's track the pronouns back to John 14. And I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that may abide with you forever. 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be where? Let's take 18 quietly. I will not, everybody, let's take it together. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. For a little while, and the world sees who? Me. No more. But you see me because I live. You will live also. Let's take 20 together. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me. Are you seeing the pronouns? Huh? Are you seeing the pronouns? So, go to 16. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of truth. Is the truth a set of facts or a person? Can we say the Spirit of the Son? Ah. You have a problem with that? In John, he says, you know the truth. And the truth, and he says, whom the Son shall set free, is free indeed. In John, he said, I am the way, the truth, absolute terms. So, is the Spirit of truth the Spirit of the Son? Is the Spirit of truth the Spirit of the Son? One more time. Is the Spirit of truth the Spirit of the Son? Is the Spirit of the Son the Son? No, it's not the Son. Is the Son Son? Is the Spirit of God God? Ah. Okay, let's leave that one. Is the Spirit of the Son the Son? Okay. So can we say, albeit he, my Spirit, is come. Is that correct? He will guide you into all truth. Third party or same person? Are you sure? Don't say what I didn't say. For he shall not, what did I teach us? He shall not speak away from himself. Okay? He shall not speak away from himself. But whatsoever he shall what? Bad translation. How can he hear? Hear what? Who is to do the hearing? Huh? Ah? Who is to do the hearing? Who is to bear them? Who know? You have bear them now. Okay? That shall he speak. He will show you things to come. So if he's showing you things, who is the one hearing? You know. Ako. You are the one hidden. So it's not like the Spirit went to Jesus and did it. And the Spirit says, well, he now comes to you. I said, I don't want to gist you about myself. I'm talking about. It is the Spirit of the Son. Hallelujah. So 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All the things that the Father has in mind, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. What is the most consistent pronoun we have seen so far? Me, I, mine. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? So, remember how we looked at the word another comforter? Another will be what? Is with you. Comforter shall be in you. Another. So the another is used for what? Location. With you shall be where? In you. Praise God. So, Because, I'll close here and then, if what is given is not Christ, then that is not the fulfillment of the scriptures. Because so far, the gift in the scriptures is Christ. Right? Are we on the same page? So what is given is Christ. Hallelujah. The gift in the scriptures is who? And so far we said, what is eternal life? The life that Jesus gives. Is that eternal life? Is He Himself. No, we first get eternal life, then we get the Spirit. We said eternal life is the indwelling of the Spirit. Good night. See you tomorrow.